What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff? Well, hello, Reed.
Well, hello, Jack.
Before we begin talking about ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, another, we want to talk about you. Thank you so much for the many people who became Patreon members after our last episode in discussing what are we doing, not only what are we doing, but how are we going to do it in terms of continuing to go forward with it. Also really appreciated your comments. Hello, Liv Bruce. I haven't seen you in forever, but yes, to pick some movie topics and not only films, but perhaps actual documentation of dances that we can give a heads up on watching and then discuss. Or you'll get to hear us discuss it post in our research journalism, queer lecture, dance, what have you.
And maybe if there's a particular movie that Liv feels expert in discussing and wants to come on and be our guest for discussing said movie, we'd love to have them.
Oh, right. Work. Also, if people have movie suggestions. So as Reed and I talked about last week of this thing of, well, what if there was a semester of dance films? Then what if there's a semester of horror films? Then what if there's a semester, you know? So, but feel free to add in what you might want to be on that syllabi.
Oh, my God. Please, let's not make this school. I'm already totally freaked out about school right now because I am trying to make heads and tails of what I am doing in school right now.
Honey, why don't you try to make heads and tails?
Heads and
maximalism,
tails.
Honey. Maximalism.
Oh, my God.
I've don't dial it back.
Literally Turn just sent a very, very dumb messages to the head of my program who wrote back and was like, she was so kind, but I really was like, I am stupid. I'm so sorry.
Who, Donna Faye?
Yeah, just in terms of like trying to wrap my mind around what our schedule is, it's all feels very complicated because it doesn't matter, but I'm sorting it out through life.
I want us to stick a pin in school and get back to it because I am teaching currently.
Yeah.
That's why I'm definitely up for talking about school.
But at any rate,
also, Reed, you got a message from someone you know.
Belinda McGuire sent it into our dance and stuff inbox, which is always wise. Belinda, hello, and thank you so much for your very detailed message that outlines some things you'd like to hear from us. I, too, think that's a great idea to reach out to Yoko Ichino to discuss how they devised a way to impart ballet in a way that does not hurt the people doing it. So I will make an attempt to reach out to this person I have not seen since 2004.
Wow.
Yar.
2004 was an intense year, let me tell you what.
I was a big transition for me. I literally moved to Canada.
It was a big transition for me, but for other reasons. thank you also to the people who wrote to just say that you appreciate this podcast and that you do listen to it and that it does mean something. I think another message that we got that I appreciated from someone who I don't know in Atlanta about what it would be also to, as we did with COVID, at the start of COVID, checking in with dancers around the world of how the pandemic was affecting their life. Also trying, I think Reed and I need to think about how we would do this in as best of way possible, but reaching out into the dance communities around America around what the plan is for activating the vote. As we know, the mail system is definitely trying to be collapsed. There's a lot already happening from the Trump administration around that they won't, that, you know, what will be acceptable voting. And we know that voter suppression, gerrymandering, that really weird electoral college that haunts us all is all still very much at play.
Anyway.
So in what ways can dancers activate into their communities for this?
Yeah. And so thank you so much for all of the feedback and the outpouring of support. And it does help us in terms of energizing us to move forward and continue making content and showing up with you and being with you every week. And Bobby, obviously, we're always listening to you. And I know that there's 50 messages that I have not really replied to, but I have read them. And Bobby sent a very interesting email from about an auditioning for a theater in Germany in, I think, some place called Ulm or something. Yeah, Theater Ulm. And
is it for us to audition?
No, we shouldn't be auditioning. Oh. But basically, they're like, we're going to randomly pick 15 people from the many people that have sent in their CVs to actually come to the audition. And if we don't find the person in that audition, we'll have another 15 come in. So it's just kind of like getting a job has now become like a lottery.
Is that being run that way because of COVID?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's correct. Oh, no. They're making based on pictures and videos, they're making a selection of 8 people from the 63 that have inquired. And those 8 people will be invited to come audition. And then if they don't find what they're looking for, they'll go back into the pool and have another 8. Shocking.
Well, but it's because they're trying to deal with like the number of people in a room. Correct?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I mean, it's a strange way to do it. And it's a little bit like, what about just having someone turn on their camera and go through routine for you? I mean, I also get how intensely labor intensive that would be for the administration on the other side. But God bless all the dancers who are in that lottery system. And
but also like to see a person through Zoom is not the same. You don't get a real sense of the person and their dancing through Zoom.
I mean, that's what's so great. You don't have to quite turn out so hard through that hip. Just wear pants. So yes, thank you. And again, if you're a listener, thank you first of all to everyone who joined through Patreon. That support means a lot and actually is really helpful. This is a project that we have definitely just been doing as a passion project. And the times are such that we are not able to continue doing it that way. So thank you for those of you who have already contributed. And if you're a listener, we're just hoping that if you could give $1 per episode, that's $4 a month, that really, truly ends up helping us.
Jack, I thought of another... something else that would be nice for our listeners. Mm. I think the movies thing will be great, but I also thought it would be nice if occasionally our podcast was just a chapter of a book on tape. So if there's a book we like, you or I would just read it to our listeners. Does that sound nice?
How many times have I asked if people would want to hear me read The Bell Jar? And I think people have written back, yes. Though I also can just read Sylvia Plath poems. I've had a fever for 6 days. And so that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. How is your infection? How's it going?
It's coming down. You know, I did end up going to the urgent care 3 times.
What was the third visit like?
The third visit was fun because it was the same doctor who I'd seen the second time, who was this very handsome man named Michael. And he was so sweet, great bedside manner. And he was like, oh, wow, it looks so much better because I have dysmorphia. I can't tell what I look like. And so
And
I also have like hypochondriacal, all sorts of Munchausen by proxy, the whole thing.
It's unfortunate I was no longer in the house to dismiss your concerns and say, let's not go to urgent care.
Well, it made me feel bad. I mean, I woke up, I thought that the staff had like grown and I was hysterical. So we went to urgent care and he looked and he was like, actually that looks a lot better. And I'm really glad that I was the doctor here because I just saw you 2 days ago and it's really come down a lot. And that made me feel good. And he said, I mean, what happened was that there was the original like staph infection, it could have been like a bug bite, a scratch, anything. And then it turned into this thing called cellulitis, which is an infection that goes under the skin, starring Scarlett Johansson, walking backwards.
That definitely needs to be a part of our list.
Walking backwards on a black lake. And
I mean, that is a dance movie in a way.
Let me tell you what.
Certainly performance art.
Under the Skin is a dance movie, and so is Possession from 1981 with Sam Neill and Isabella Gianni. Those are both dance films. And I can talk about why for a really long time.
But you'll have to wait for it. That'll be another episode.
You'll have to wait till when we do a semester of films that we think are dance films. And so he was like, you'll finish the antibiotic on Friday. Like, I'm on a 10-day course of Bactrim, and which is pretty heavy metal, I have to say. I've been on Bactrim before, but it's hitting me a little harder in my old age. And but he was like, but the skin is not going to really go back to a color. Like, you're not going to notice it until Monday, next Monday.
Right.
All right.
Because he was like, it's just so... Oh, he also said, because I was like, I mean, of course I did this. I was like, yeah, well, I was just really worried about it. So so I put 99.9 isopropyl alcohol on it. And he was like, oh, no. And oh, I was dear. Like, and then I put apple cider vinegar on it. And he was like, no. And he covered his face. And I was like, and then after that, I put tea tree oil on it.
You're exactly like that woman in that oils movie who's like, and then my whole body was an outbreak because I was essentially drinking bottles of oil. And
well, that was called,
who's to blame?
That's on HBO. That's called On Well.
It was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix called On Well. And the essential oils episode Scam. Was really pretty good. We never finished it because it was just unbearable after a while. Though I do love
our
doTERRA.
Our whole trip was really talking about scam artists, looking at scams.
So many scams, 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 scams. It's really true. You know, it's a
the all the scam artists of Hudson, New York. That really got me. I laughed in bed thinking about that.
Who was the person? Was it you who said that?
No, you.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. That's really good. That's really good. The scam.
You did. You said, oh, we know all the scam artists up here.
Well, at this point in my life, I kind of know all the scam artists, as do you,
scam
quite
artists.
Frankly. We all know who's become really good at selling themselves as an artist, not necessarily making good art. And that's fine. You know, it's, as I've said before on this podcast, there is a song in Gypsy that goes, you gotta get a gimmick if you gotta get ahead.
Oh, guess what? I'm in my studio right now. Can you imagine? Oh. That's why it sounds like a laundromat.
I love it. I love your studio, the dank
can
basement.
Can you believe it?
What's it like getting in there?
Well, nobody's here, but there's always someone at the desk in the office upstairs. So you go to one of the doors at the top of the amphitheater, and then you wave, and they let you in. And then they have a station where they take your temperature. You have to sign a whole.
Do they take it by like putting the thermometer by your head?
Yes.
So wait, I have to say something else about this urgent care. The first two times, I was in this small room. And they had me take my mask off to take my temperature under my tongue.
When you told me that, I couldn't believe it. I was like, no one has taken their temperature under their tongue since like 100 years ago.
And I was like, what the fuck? And the third time I went back, the woman did it in my ear. And I was
like a baby.
And I was like, I wish that would have happened the first two times I was here. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I had to take my mask off to take my temperature under my tongue. And she was like, what? And yeah, I gotta say,
are you sure you didn't dream it?
Oh, girl, am I ever. Because I remember, like, the beads of sweat, like, beginning all around my hairline as I, like, went to remove my mask, you know? Like, I have to say, so I get, like, this fever. It runs, like, 100.4. Like, it stops right about there, which he said, like, that's a fever, that's not great, and, you know, take ibuprofen or whatever. Having a fever for more than, like, 2 days... is wild. Like, I am on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's been six days of having a fever. Like, just kind of come over me and last until I can, like, get that ibuprofen down me. And wow. I feel, and I started teaching, like, and my schedule is BANANAS, because we have two faculty members, one who's on sabbatical, another who's has family leave. And so I have many students. So I teach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Are you having fun? Does the semester feel promising?
It feels deep. I'm definitely, there was a lot in terms of like the reading I did this summer and the ways in which I wanted to change my syllabi, and am implementing that. I'm teaching in a way slower way.
Oh, that's nice. Everything needs to slow down.
Yeah. And
I had my first class of the semester last night and it was real slow and it was an hour longer than I was planning.
Oh, I'm also excited in my performance composition class that I'm going to start it with showing four artists whose work frequently I think it's placed in the dance portion of the New York Times because it doesn't run for 2 weeks, but there's sort of not a performance art critic.
I'm just changing over my laundry. Don't mind me.
I won't. I'm going to have a sip of kombucha to offset my antibiotic.
Make sure you're doing probiotics or whatever.
I am.
I don't have to tell you that, Jack.
Can you say I don't have to tell you that one more time?
I don't have to tell you that, Jack.
Oh, I love it. That is one of my absolute favorite sentences. I don't have to tell you that, Jack.
Well, it's horrible when people tell you stuff that you don't need them to tell you. You know, what a waste of life.
Oh, what is some things that people would need to tell me? Anything about money? Anything about my car? Oh, I'm late on my car payment. I just remembered that. Bills.
There's a cap to something in my watch.
Hey, I got a query for you. Mm-hmm. Are you missing some headphones and some wires?
Yes, in that black thing. Was it in the black thing?
Uh-huh.
Where was the black thing?
You dropped it somehow behind this bed in the poppy room.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad.
It's here. I can stick it in the mail to you.
And I purposefully left behind a charger on the front table thinking it was Jeremy's, but then I remembered it goes in my studio. It's fine. It's just a phone charger. But at any rate, I hope I do see you again someday.
I know. I was thinking like maybe next summer.
Shut the fuck up.
No, we'll figure it out. It's just don't run around New York licking things and people like I know you like to do.
Well, I have been just taking care of business. Let me tell you what. I had scans uptown. I went to the dentist yesterday. I had a handsome dentist, and he told me that I have clean teeth. I said, thank you.
I love that. Jeremy's hating that teeth thing, by the way.
I heard. I'm disappointed because I so like it.
I know, but like pain tolerance isn't really her thing.
Oh, he finds it painful.
Yeah, girl. I mean, that shit's moving your fucking teeth around.
Oh, he'll after a week, he'll barely know it's there. It's true. The first couple days are a little hard, but tell him to take Advil.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell her to start doing that. She doesn't like to take anything.
I always forget that Advil is there, and then I'll be like, oh, God, I'm sick, I'm in pain, and then I take two Advil, and I'm like, God, I wish I'd remembered to do that earlier.
Well, let me tell you what, I never forget about a pill.
You really don't.
I never forget about a pill. I really...
You love them.
I love them. Call me Judy G. I am absolutely up for pills in me.
You know what else I've been doing exciting?
What? What else have you been doing exciting?
My friend Chrissy, who runs Sky Ting Yoga, she has this space in Tribeca that's unused at the moment.
That's where you filmed that.
Yes.
I saw it. I was waiting. I wasn't going to bury the lead. You look so incredible. You do. It's like you are like the most iconic Pam dancer. Like,
I'm not, Jack. That is, there are literally a company of incredible Pam dancers.
They are really incredible. I think the thing that I really love about you, because of where you are in your age and the amount of, well, and the amount of information.
That is such a nice way to say it, where you are in your age.
And the amount of information that you've accrued up to this point that is very diverse. That is, it is in a, it has a, the lexicon is really diverse. And something that I really love about, should we say what this is for, or do we need to keep it a secret?
I think it's okay.
Well, Pam is making, Pam Tanowitz is making a solo on.
Wait. I actually don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then we're not going to talk about it. Anyhow.
At any rate, I'm working with Pam on something, which means that she's just building some material on my body. So we've had a couple Zoom dates where she communicates to me through the Zoom and then I dance.
Yes. And this is also something that Jeremy is working on Pam with.
Yes.
And so we discussed through what we what you said today. And what I appreciate in watching you doing Pam's material, and I think it comes out of performance for me more than dance, is allowing a drop and no transition.
Yeah.
So instead of like making something make sense and flow together, you really allow for there to be a, like just a now something else.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where, that's very much a part of like the idiosyncrasies in Pam's work, is that she's not trying to find like a traditional or logical transition between two things. She's looking to find something new, something magic, like inside of that space where we are so familiar with what could or should happen. She's not that interested in that. She's interested in something else, seeing what it means to get rid of the logical next step and just move right into some a new idea.
Yeah, as well as really using forms of ideas of surprise, theater, humor. You know, these are, I think we can think of theater and humor and formally.
Yeah.
And how to adjust the eye, jar the lens.
I do feel like one of my, because as a dancer, I'm like, what am I trying to say? I'm not that interested for my own body or in terms of like building work with other choreographers. I'm not interested in making things that are incredibly sexy or cool or fluid or organic. I feel like all that's been done. I'm not interested in looking at it. I do think some people make that kind of material really well, and it's satisfying for me to feel it through viewership, but I'm not interested. So in my work with you and with Pam, I feel very precious. I feel very protective of listening to what you're saying and what you're doing and doing it. Without bringing myself into it a lot, because I think in terms of makers who use formal movement or formal shapes, who are able to divorce themselves from, whether because they don't have the information themselves or because they aren't interested in that kind of information, the only way we can really get to something new is through those kind of makers who are able to step away from, be divorced from what is conventional. And you're lucky that you don't have like these like super steeped techniques in your body, because it allows you to create things that move beyond the form that we know. And so, you know, when I work with you, I'm always like, I don't know what should come next. I want you to show me what comes next.
Well, and I think, I mean, and I Pam and I think are coming at it from different angles, but there's some shared sentiments behind it. And part of that is that I know that I'm not interested in selling my dancers to the audience. Right. I'm not interested in this, in because what was hard for me as a performer was when it felt transactional around flirtation, sensuality, these things that just felt kind of gross to me. And it's something that dance can so immediately fall into.
Yeah.
That gets a little Salome for my taste. And you know, it's certainly, and it's available from ballet to the So You Think You Can Dance aesthetic, the real, and I'm not saying no to sexuality, but it's, is there any awareness of the sexuality and what the objectification of the performer means by the audience?
Right.
Because once you walk out on stage, you're objectified, period.
Yeah.
But then you get to have some ownership with that, I would hope, and some agency. And the agency is going to come by not letting the audience know what happens next. Which, you know, in terms of ballet, we know what's going to happen next most of the time.
Right.
And unless they fuck up. And certainly at this point in contemporary modern, the sort of everything from like the pinnacle of Mia Michaels that stretches out from there, we have a sense of, oh, right, they're going to like touch their face to move their head and it'll flow through their arm and then they do a cartwheel.
Like nothing makes me sicker. Oh God. I even just saying it and having to visualize it is nauseating.
But I remember the first time I saw someone do the touch my face, like use my hand to touch my face to move it. I was like, whoa.
Oh God.
But this is also, look, it's a gap in education and in what people got to find out about or not find out about the Coke method of mime and of clowning and of these different forms of theater, of where even that rose from. But then, and I am beginning all my classes, as I do every year, talking about this. AIDS, 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 AIDS. It's just this huge gap. Reading Arnie Zane's take on how behind he finds gender and sexuality at his time to thinking about where we are now, it's devastating.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. And of course that moves all the way through the form.
Anyhow,
I don't want to
get
more depressed
about that. No, because you have to go to class soon. But also, everybody,
but I
please.
Loved watching you dance. I love watching you dance so much. And it's just, and the thing that is true about it, about you not bringing you to it, is what's so helpful to the movement.
Well, here's what I'll say. Like, I can't help but bring myself to it because I am myself. But what's been helpful for me is that I've been away from like regular performance and class for so long that all the feelings of those coordinations that become so pervasive in my body are a little bit vague. So it's not that hard for me to move inside of something awkward because I'm like, well, I am awkward right now. Everything feels awkward. So might as well just do that.
I guess what I mean inside of that is I think there's something different when someone is more celeb and has like a star thing behind
them. I
see. Like for me, if Pam set something on me, I'd have to really blank out a lot of the public persona that I've used to safeguard myself on stage and the vulnerable works I've made.
Right, right.
But
that would be crazy. She should just make a piece that leans into the Jack Ferverness. You know what I mean? Like if you're gonna do a collab like that, like you have to be on the table.
I mean, honey, it's like you don't cast Betty Davis. like the quiet nun in the background.
Right. So, anyways, that's nice. Now tell Jeremy just to bleep the name because everything's fine. It's just, we'd love a bleep. I want to hear a bleep on the pod this week.
Oh, you want to hear a bleep?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we'll see if she feels up for... She's doing quite a lot because now she's in the editing process of the Chris Garneau videos, which look really good.
I'm so glad. I'm glad.
I'm really... what a like great team. What a fun.
Do you feel sad? Are you depressed that the house isn't full, or is it easier?
Do I feel depressed? I don't know how the house could be full with what my teaching schedule is like right now. Yesterday I had meetings with students in the morning, and then I taught. My first class was 12:10 to 1:30. I had a lunch break, and then I had to do a little bit of homework research for what I was teaching next, just to feel prepped in what I was going to say. And then that class was from 4 to 7. So, and then I'm like the deadest person ever. So I think that because I'm looking to this semester, I'm actually planning on having... Last semester, I did things where people could make videos and that could count as part of class time. This semester is just all going to happen in class in terms of the videos that I'm showing the students tomorrow. But we're going to watch them and I'm going to share my screen. Part of it is that I have access to these videos that this. Right. So I don't want the students to have access to the videos. The artists haven't granted that permission. So for the students to own them. It'll be a screen share, and we'll be watching a video and then discussing and going forward.
Sounds fun. It's hard to watch a video over Zoom, but
share. And then, for out there, if you're an educator, if you want to, I have opened all of my videos. All of my videos are open on my website. So feel free, whatever.
Well, yeah. Watch us dance around.
Watch Nightlight, Bright Light. That's the real fun one for us. We love that.
It's about us.
It's pulling you back from suicide again and again and again.
Yeah. And also, everybody go to pbs.com and watch Mark Morris, L'Allegro, .. And it's a great dance. I'm going to talk about it at some point in depth, maybe on the podcast. Maybe we'll even bring in a guest to help talk about it. You can't believe it. The colors, the Adrienne Lobel sets, the costumes.
Before we talk about it, I should watch it. I haven't seen it.
You should.
Okay.
No. But thank you, Jamie St. Peter, for bringing it to our attention so that I could revisit and be amazed. And thank you to those dancers. And thank you, Mark Morris. And, sometimes dance is good. Sometimes dance is good.
I have a new book.
Uh-oh. Is it the new Elena Ferrante?
The Lying Life of Adults.
I love that title.
I mean, it's...
It's like The Secret Life of Bees, but better.
I'm dead. The Secret Life of Bees. Who would even remember that? Come on, go off.
I don't know.
That is hilarious. Oh, and I watched this really intense documentary that's on Showtime right now, which I think it's called The Circus Inside, and it is about...
Sounds very Martha Grammy.
Well, that is called Every Soul is a Circus, but this is about... every week they're recapping like what's going on with the Republican stewarding forward. And there was an incredible interview with Kellyanne Conway that was just done like a few days ago.
Your queen.
With the woman who ran, who was the senior advisor for Hillary Clinton during Clinton-Kaine. And her and Kellyanne Conway had a huge fight. And it gets played out, and then they meet. And on this, it's called The Circus Inside, The Greatest Political Show on Earth. And it began in 2016.
I've decided 2 years later to finish, to get caught up on The Handmaid's Tale. Ugh. I don't know what compelled me. It is so scary.
Read. Read.
Elizabeth Moss is so good. It's so
I don't want you to watch that show. It's
well,
so
I'm all
upsetting.
Caught up now. Something good happened, though, at the end of season three, so I don't want to spoil anything for those of you who somehow missed it 2 years later. But yeah, for the upcoming season four for next year, you know, you have plenty of time to get caught up.
I watched just the last episode of RuPaul's Las Vegas show.
I don't know about that.
I just watched the last two episodes that have been released of RuPaul getting the Vegas show up. And I do suggest watching it. There is a queen who has to learn the salsa dance.
Oh, I love this.
And she's definitely the most butch queen out of all the queens, like tattoos, very kind of like masky jasky. And I continually was befuddled as to why they didn't just give this queen some other choreography. There is a move. It's so cruel. They show her doing this one move over and over again. And I was screaming. I couldn't. And the queen is so stressed out, and rightly so, because she knows she's not getting it, and she is not getting it. And then there's all this drama that's kind of like neither here nor there. But oh my God, RuPaul does this incredible... These two queens are really mad at each other, and it's like the day before opening, and RuPaul is talking to all of them, and she's like, okay, so you're mad at, okay, well, I'm going to talk for both of you right now, so I'm going to be Naomi right now. And then she talks to this other queen who's mad at Naomi and says what she thinks Naomi should say to that other queen while Naomi Smalls lip syncs what RuPaul is saying.
Wow.
It is iconic. And then RuPaul is like, and now I'm going to be this other queen. And she apologizes to Naomi Smalls how she thinks the other queen should apologize. And she's like, there,
it's just
good,
like
now you're
your
done.
Shows.
What do you mean?
Wow. In the way that you make people say things, but they're actually just lip syncing to something they may have said.
That they may have said, or I may have embellished upon. And and that's how it's going to go. That's definitely, there's... Even though I'm like, wow, live performance, am I ever going to do that again?
Lip-syncing is more reliable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Except if I'm lip-syncing, because as you well know, I'm not good at
you
it.
You couldn't do it, but that was part of the joy. It was really part of the joy. Oh, someone wrote me a really nice message that they had just seen Everything is a Mad Rumble and loved it.
That's
really
good
sweet.
I saw Lloyd last night. We, Reed
I
and
love
Harriet,
Lloyd so much.
We made a pair of really crazy see-through sparkle tights for James Whiteside to wear at Cotsbon because Lloyd is making a dance for James. And then Lloyd came to my apartment to pick them up last night after I was done with class. And we had a little sit down and a chat, and it was so nice.
Oh, I love Lloyd so much. They're coming up this weekend, right?
They are. I said, Lloyd, are you going to see Jack? He said, no. Because there's rules at Cotsbon.
I know. I was like, you have to come over. And he was like, no, Cotsbon's in like this full lockdown.
Well, maybe Lloyd can stop in after he's all done at Cotsbon. You have to check in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lloyd, when you hear this on Friday, Maird for your show with James. Hi, James.
I have a feeling Lloyd does not listen to the podcast.
send me a text when you're done with your shows at Cotsbon. Well, I need to run into a faculty meeting. Ladies, gentlemen, other, we love you so much. Thank you so much for the support. It really means a lot. It's how we're going to keep going through listeners like you. And as is said in this modality of healing, without help, it is too much for us. So thank you for your help.
Truly, that was a big surprise. We didn't know. I guess all you have to do is ask. That was the lesson of last week.
Well, Reed, let me tell you two queens who aren't very good at asking for things.
We don't ask for
me and you. I really don't. I think we only jokingly ask
for things. Like, for example, will Bite Tooth Aligners please sponsor this podcast, since both Jeremy and I are currently wearing them?
Right. And if there is a doctor who does at-home Botox visits, I think it's time to just come and, like, make me look like somebody else. And, and always CDG, Comme des Garçons. I love your clothes so much. I only wear black. I am, my waist is 28. My pant length is 30. And my shirt is as small as you can imagine. And, and I'm always fine with a sheer or holes in something.
You do love that.
All right, ladies from another, we loves you.
We super loves you. We'll see you next week.